So 3 weeks ago, I went to the opening day of spring training at the Bradenton Baseball Stadium, which is one of the, if you don't know this, it's really worth going to check out. It's one of the historic baseball stadiums in the United States. It is the third oldest after Wrigley Field and that one in Boston. What's the name of that? And so it has historic value. And I was sitting in the stands watching the Orioles play, and I thought of a Peanuts cartoon. The children are engaged in a game of baseball. Charlie Brown, the pitcher, is standing on the mound talking to Lucy. She is the catcher. Lucy is urging Charlie Brown to pretend to lose control of the next pitch and throw the ball right at the head of the batter, which will cause the batter to jump back, rattling his concentration, making it easier to strike him out. Brush this guy back, Charlie Brown. Give him the old bean ball. No, I can't do that, Lucy. It wouldn't be right. It would be right. Look who's gone moral on us all of a sudden, gang. Old wishy-washy here is too moral to throw a beanball. And the other children gather around the mound. What about the way the settlers treat the Indians? Was that moral? Yeah, and what about slavery? Was that moral? How about air pollution? Do you think that war is moral? Define morality. Charlie Brown stands on the mound merely listening, and finally he reflects to himself, "We never win any ball games, but we sure have some interesting discussions." From 1950 until his death in 2000, Charles Schulz drew cartoons. Published every day for 50 years and now in reruns, it is the longest story ever told by one person. The cartoons are autobiographical, and that Charlie Brown is based on Charles Schulz's own memories of growing up as a shy young boy in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. He said, "When I was small, I believed that my face was so bland that people would not recognize me if they saw me someplace other than where they normally would. I thought my ordinary appearance was a perfect disguise. It was this weird thinking that prompted Charlie Brown's round, ordinary face." In contrast, Lucy is based on Charles Schulz's own daughter, supremely self-confident. Charlie Brown says to Lucy, "Do you know what I wonder? Sometimes I wonder if God is pleased with me." Lucy, do you ever wonder if God is pleased with you? Lucy smiles and says, "He just has to be." All humor contains an impulse, however faint, of aggression or even malice. The malice in the cartoons is almost always aimed at Charlie Brown, a shy young boy looking for happiness in an often cruel and indifferent world. Lucy is at her psychoanalysis booth. She charges 5 cents, which Charlie pays to get her advice. "Look at it this way, Charlie. These are your bitter days. These are your days of hardship and struggle. These are the lonely years, the times of trouble. But if you just hold your head up high and keep on fighting, someday you will triumph. Do you really think so, Lucy? Frankly, no. All humor contains an impulse, however faint, of aggression or even malice. Charlie Brown, an ordinary kid, a child with no special talents, is easily teased by Lucy. She walks up and says, "Charlie Brown, I think you should resolve to be perfect during the coming year." "Perfect?" says Charlie. "Good grief, nobody is perfect. What do you expect of me?" "I think you could be perfect if you try. I really do." "All right, Lucy. If you have that much faith in me, I'll try. I hereby resolve to be perfect during the coming year." And Lucy responds, "You perfect?" And she breaks out in uncontrollable laughter. In another conversation with Lucy, he says, "All it would take to make me happy is to have someone say he likes me." Lucy, "Are you sure?" Charlie Brown, "Of course I'm sure." Lucy, "You mean you'd be happy if someone merely said he or she likes you?" Charlie Brown, "Yes." Lucy, "Do you mean to tell me that someone has it within his or her power to make you happy merely by doing such a simple thing?" Charlie Brown, "That's exactly what I mean." Lucy, "Well, I don't think that's asking too much." Charlie Brown, "No, it's such a simple thing." Lucy, "All you want is to have someone say, I like you, Charlie Brown, and then you'd be happy?" Charlie Brown, "And then I would be happy." Lucy, "Well, I simply can't do it." This reality was also reflected in Charlie Brown's relationship with his dog. Charles Schultz observed that many neighborhood dogs seemed smarter than the children and the adults who were their masters. He built on this in developing Snoopy's character. The dog liked to think of himself as independent. The dog had dreams of doing great things. In his imagination, Snoopy saw himself as a heroic figure, writing great novels or carrying on aerial combat in World War I. Of course, without Charlie Brown, he could not survive, but Snoopy would not give Charlie Brown the love and affection that he deserved. In one comic strip, Charlie Brown went to the hospital. When he got out, the first thing he did was go in search of his dog. "Snoopy," he said eagerly. "Hi, Snoopy, I'm home from the hospital. It seemed like I'd been gone forever. I sure missed you. I used to lie there in the hospital at night worrying about you. Anyway, it's good to be home." Charlie Brown walks away with a smile on his face. Snoopy is by himself. The dog thinks, "Now I remember. It's that round-headed kid who always feeds me." I laugh at Charlie Brown because his predicament is the predicament of the human condition. I see myself in the stories. Raised a Lutheran, As a young adult, Charles Schulz was a member of a small congregation called the Church of God. He considered himself a committed Christian. In 1958, Schulz, his wife, and five children moved from Minneapolis to live in a small town 55 miles north of San Francisco, in the wine country up there near Santa Rosa. The family joined a Methodist church, and Schulz led Bible study classes for 11 years in the church. His Christian beliefs were reflected in a 1965 television special, which we still see every Christmas, A Charlie Brown Christmas. It was Schulz who insisted that the TV show include Linus reading the story of the birth of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke. Around the same time, a Presbyterian minister wrote a book called The Gospel According to Peanuts. The book suggested that Lucy represents original sin, and the dog Snoopy represented Jesus. It sold 10 million copies. However, not everyone agreed that the cartoon strips were Christian. At the beginning of every football season, Lucy would invite Charlie Brown to come running to kick the football. And every year, Charlie Brown vowed that he would not fall for her tricks again. But each year, Lucy convinced him to trust her. Each year, she pulled the football away at the last moment. One year, the football trick included a great deal of crying on Lucy's part, ending with Charlie Brown flat on the ground and Lucy standing over him, looking at him, saying, "Never listen to a woman's tears, Charlie Brown." In response, Charles Schulz received this letter. "Your strip is sadistic. You have thousands of well-meaning children reading Peanuts. It is sad that you must print a lie in order to get a laugh. Revelation says, all liars shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Think of the price you are going to pay and those you take with you." Snoopy's friend Woodstock emerged from a flock of birds and joined the cast of characters. In November of 1985, Woodstock asked Snoopy why humans eat turkey. Snoopy said, "I agree, they do some strange things. Years ago, they used to kill lambs. Sacrifice, they called it. Ha! And now it's Thanksgiving again. You know how they show thanks, don't you? They eat a bird. Can you imagine? They eat a bird. What a way to show thanks. As long as I live, I'll never understand them." Woodstock goes over and kicks Linus and flies away. Linus says, "What was that about?" Well, this Sunday cartoon, this Thanksgiving cartoon, elicited another letter. "Dear Mr. Schulz, I'm wondering if you have been caught up in a New Age type of deception where vegetarianism mixes with Eastern philosophy and denies an omnipotent God in heaven who demands to be worshipped. Such philosophies make gods out of men with the lie that we can all find God within. Is this what happened to you? I would not want to be in your shoes on Judgment Day. Jesus Christ said that people who lead astray his little ones should be cast into the sea with a millstone tied around their necks. An apology is due America." Now, what strikes me about these letters is that the writers appear to have missed the point of the comic strip. The focus of the cartoons were not on lying or vegetarianism. These are simple examples of a larger story. Charlie Brown symbolizes the common, unexceptional person who is more acquainted with losing than with winning. In 1972, Charles Schulz went through a divorce, and a year later, he married for a second time. During this change in relationship, Schulz stopped attending the Methodist Church. His ideas about religion were evolving, influenced by his new wife. She was more concerned with actively doing good than determining whether any particular prophet was divinely inspired. A few years later, Schulz attended the 35th anniversary of his cartoon work at a museum in Oakland, California. It was 1985. And a young reporter asked him about his religion. The cartoonist replied, "I think the best theology is no theology. I'm becoming more and more a humanist." In the last 15 years of his life, Charles Schulz described himself as a humanist. In 1989, he said, "I do not go to church anymore because I could not be an active part of things. I guess you might say I've come around to secular humanism, a humanist who does not attend church." About the religious beliefs of others, he said, "I do not really care what anyone believes as long as they behave well." And he said, "Isn't it a pity that religion, which is supposed to draw us all together, simply drives us apart? That," he said, "is the thing that bothers me so much." Schulz continued to believe in God, but he defined God as a mystery beyond human understanding. A friend described Schulz's religious belief as Christian universalism. At the end of his life, dying of cancer in the winter of 2000, Charles Schulz chose not to let Charlie Brown kick the football. Nevertheless, he said, "I do not think of Charlie Brown as a loser, because a loser is someone who gives up. Charlie Brown never gives up. Decent and persistent, Charlie Brown never stopped trying. It is a basic strength of character. While suffering, he doesn't moan. While struggling, he does not surrender. While discouraged, he always holds on to hope. In his determination, in his commitment, in his steadfastness, I find inspiration." Like Charlie Brown, most of us are gentle, ordinary people of average intelligence. Most of us long for friendship and wonder whether or not people really like us. Most of us have tried and failed in our lives, and we pick ourselves up and we try again. And most of us have learned empathy from this experience. In my favorite cartoon, in the first frame, Linus is sitting in front of a TV set. His arms are upraised, his face is glowing. He says, "Fantastic!" And immediately he runs outside to where Charlie Brown is standing inert on the grass holding a football. "Charlie Brown," Linus says excitedly, "I just saw the most unbelievable football game ever played. What a comeback!" Charlie Brown listened intently as Linus gave a thumbnail sketch of the end of the game. The home team was behind 6-0 with only 3 seconds to play. They had the ball on their own 1-yard line. Linus began to feel the excitement of the game all over again. He waved his arms about. He jumped up and down. The quarterback took the ball, faded behind his own goalpost, and then threw a perfect pass to the left end, who whirled away from 4 guys and ran all the way to a touchdown. The fans went wild. You should have seen them. People were jumping up and down, and when they kicked the extra point, thousands of people ran onto the field, laughing and screaming. The fans and the players were so happy. They were rolling on the ground and hugging each other and dancing and everything. It was fantastic. Charlie Brown looked at Linus intently, soberly, and asked, "How did the other team feel?"